seated. Please take now your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We will be reading from just a couple of verses in the 10th chapter, but carrying into verse 11. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, and reading down to the first verse, chapter 11. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Please, let's bow before the Lord now in prayer. Dear Father, as the word is now open, we pray again for the help of the Spirit of God to speak the word. I need help, Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can speak clearly the word. And I pray that everyone listening would know that anointing to understand and hear the speaking voice of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we need these things this morning. We need special grace. Give us that, we ask, Lord. Bless us this very morning, and in our gathering without the Savior, speak to their hearts, we pray, young or old. And those of us who know Thee, help us to go on from strength to strength. For Jesus' sake we ask, amen. We are stepping forward now in our study in the book of Hebrews we've been doing for some time, and we come to a very familiar pathway that has been walked by many Christians numerous times in their life. I'm speaking of chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. It's known as the chapter of faith, and for very good reasons. There are a few reasons why this portion has become so loved by Christians. And I would suggest to you its plainness and its clarity. By making close connections with who we call heroes of truth in ways that we can relate to, showing that their strength, well, it was not of themselves, and the ability they had to conquer their challenges, why that faith and strength they had was the same grace of faith that you and I possess today, that we have. But why does it come at this juncture in the book of Hebrews, you might ask? Why would this emphasis upon faith not come near the beginning of the book as people are kind of getting started? Well, the Spirit of God makes no mistakes. And I would suggest to you that the reason, as we think of the addressing of this book to Hebrew Christians, Paul had already dealt on different occasions with the problem of those from Judaism bringing some of the, well, the baggage, we would say, into their Christianity. Do you recall the argument that he had with the Galatian church? And there were those Judaizers, as they were called, that were in the church, and they unsettled the faith of Gentiles, trying to impose upon them they had to follow the rites of the Jewish religion. They had to be circumcised. They had to do certain washings before they could eat or go into places of worship. And so it was not an unusual thing for Paul to have to deal with this idea of leaving behind those things that were old, those things, as he called to the Galatians, beggarly elements, those old ways, don't bring them with you into your new faith. And remember that throughout Hebrews, he has been taking so much time and effort to set up the Lord Jesus and the one sacrifice that the Lord did in place of all the Old Testament sacrifices, about how vital, how important that really was, the person and the work of the Savior. Was there a danger of these Hebrew Christians maybe falling away and going back to their old pathways? Those were not good. And so he is telling in the latter part of chapter 10, the just person will live by faith. Don't be like those who step out on faith, but they really have no root, no grounding, and they soon fall back into fleshly ways, carnal thinking. They fall back into ways that are not of God. And so they seem to start by faith, but they do not finish by faith. They finish in the flesh. And Paul argues, we are not of them who go down to perdition. That's a strong word. If people are not of faith, of the true living faith that the Bible speaks about, beware. Because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that's the warning he makes in chapter 10. So these things are not unfamiliar to us. And I believe that that's why, as he concludes this section in chapter 10 and moves right into the 11th one, and we do know that these chapter divisions were not in the original, it's following through one complete narrative. And so as he continues through that, the just shall live by faith, but we are not of them who draw back to perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith. That's our text today, is chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. You see, my friends, if God alone is not our hope, then we are in danger of being linked with those who trample underfoot the blood of the cross, the blood of the covenant, and despise the work that Jesus did. We don't want to be in that category. What we think about here is the natural step that the Apostle, the Holy Spirit, is giving to us. And I want us to think today that the faith spoken about in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 and developing through the chapter, why, it is true saving faith. And it is consistent with all of the Bible faith that we are talked about. And it is a vibrant faith. It is a justifying faith. But you know something? It is simple faith. Yes. Simple faith that takes the Word of God at face value and trusts in that Word. And that's what I want us to think about today as we consider this opening verse. Now faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. How do we define what faith really is? There have been many attempts to look at this subject from the simple acronym that says, or that follows the letters of faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. And that's a good one. That's not bad at all. And yet you can move to something that's a little bit more complex, like the one Dr. Ken Connolly has put forward. Faith is a life that dares to commit beyond its means, expecting what sense cannot certify, based on God's promise, dependent on God's supply, and motivated for God's glory, and confident in God's integrity. You need to read that over a few times and think about it. It's a good one. People are attempting and trying to define what faith is. Yet while we take the Word of God and we try to rightly divide the Scripture for a better understanding, we must also realize that bringing out from the Scripture, from the context of the Word of God, clear, untwisted truth, well, that is exactly what is the responsibility of every faithful man of God. On this point, There is nowhere in the Bible that more clearly defines what faith is than these simple words of chapter 11 and verse 1. It talks about faith as the substance. And I want us to think about that word for a few minutes as we continue in our message this morning. The word, it comes from a compound of two Greek words. And the first word means under, and the other word means stand. When we put them together, we think of standing under that which is a strong basis, a basis of the principle or the object that faith is based on. It's translated four times in the New Testament. Three of those times it's translated confidence. And one time it's translated substance that we have in our text. But one other time it's very interesting, and we find it if you turn back to chapter 1 of Hebrews and verse 3. Oftentimes the translators would take one Greek word, or in this case a compound word, and they would give it the flavor of different English words. This was not a bad thing, but in your study you must do comparisons, and you will look and see perhaps why they would have done that. There were different shades of meaning sometimes in one Hebrew word or a Greek word, and it would be best conveyed in some different English words. So in this case, the translators have used the word confidence three times. One of those appears, by the way, in the book of Hebrews. And this word substance that we have in our text in Hebrews 11, 1. But look in Hebrews 1, verse 3. I believe this gives a certain depth to its meaning. It's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, where it says, who being the brightness of His, that is God's glory, and the express image of His person. That's the word, hypostasis, person. This verse is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He is connected with the Father. And you see, the Lord Jesus is the express image of the substance or the being of God. And so when we consider that, we're presented immediately with the Lord Jesus in all His glory. Him set forth not just as a created being, but as the one who bears the very image of His Father. He is of the same substance. He is of the same being. That word that we have in our text is used to define for us what faith is. Faith is the very substance of things that are hoped for. We're getting our definition brought to us a little bit clearer. You know, you'll probably not find a more succinct definition than we have in our shorter catechism, which asks the question, what is faith in Jesus Christ? The answer, faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation, as He is offered to us in the gospel. The Shorter Catechism directly deals with two things, the origin and the object of our faith. Because to give a definition of faith apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, well, it would be no different from what the world would give a definition of, and maybe their experiences, or perhaps another religion, or some people who just say, well, just have faith and it will get you through life. But they don't mention the object of faith. So you see where the Shorter Catechism brings out the whole truth and meaning of Hebrews 11 and the whole New Testament and Scripture definition of faith. It deals with its object. It deals with its origin. So what about the origin of true faith? Where has it come from? Well, I'll tell you where it's not come from. It hasn't come from your heart. It hasn't come from my heart. Because the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And us being born in sin and shaped in iniquity, we have no righteousness of our own. We have nothing that we can offer unto God. And therefore, our nature being dead spiritually, we cannot latch on to something within ourselves and say, oh, there it is. That's what faith is. I'll just draw from myself and I'll come to the Lord on that. The origin of true faith is not from the heart of man. And I'll tell you where else it's not from. It's not from education. You'll not find this in the education places of this world. But there's something else, even theologically. You cannot educate someone in faith, because true faith is not something that can be learned or imbibed. It doesn't come from within. The origin of faith is something completely different. It is a gift of God from the Holy Spirit. And that's why, as we stand today and we think about this great subject that affects every one of us as Christians, and my friend, it should be of interest to you if you're outside of Christ today, because you cannot come to God without faith. It is impossible for you to please God without faith. But where do you find this faith? How are we going to get it? Where is its origin? Its origin, it comes from the Lord. It is the gift that God gives. When we think about the object of our faith, we don't speak disrespectfully of the Lord Jesus when we say it that way, but it is His holy person. It is, my friends, His perfect work as it is related to His holy person. And this faith that is being talked about here, why, it must rest upon that object. It must have the Lord Jesus as the focal point of that. And without it, we have nothing. You see, friend, when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit through faith and He opens our understanding, it is then that we are able to lay hold upon the Lord Jesus as our only Savior. It is then and then only that we are said to be justified by God's great grace. And you know, when we have the Lord Jesus in us, when He abides in the heart and life of the child of God, it is then that we will be able to go through this life as if we were in heaven. We were thinking last Lord's Day about what it meant to have days of heaven upon earth. What does it mean to walk with the Lord each day? That's heaven on earth. And knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in simple childlike faith, that is the reception, that is knowing the object of our faith. Archbishop Usher, he wrote this: "It seems that justifying faith consists in these two things, in having a mind to know Christ and a will to rest upon Him. And whosoever sees so much excellency in Christ that thereby he is drawn to embrace Him as the only rock of salvation, that man truly believes unto justification." A true word. Faith, my friends, is the substance of things hoped for. And it discovers within the Lord Jesus all of wisdom and righteousness and holiness and pardon for sin and peace and joy and security and victory. It defies all our senses. Because, friends, when your sense would tell you it doesn't make any sense, that's when faith will come in and you will see clearly that it is all found in the Lord. And it all comes with clarity as we see this subject through Him. The soul which possesses this saving faith will never be satisfied without a sensible presence of Christ in the life. What do I mean by that? A sensible presence? Well, We have to be conscious of the Lord walking with us every day. Now, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But quite honestly, you and I very often are not really much aware of the Lord's presence in our life. It may be for a couple of reasons. Maybe we become too busy doing other things. Maybe we have become distracted by the things of the world. It may be that there's sin in our heart and the fellowship has been broken. But you know, the Lord is always with us. But sometimes our consciousness of His presence is not there where it should be. We pray that we will be very conscious of a living reality of the Lord Jesus with us moment by moment. In the quietness of our mind, while we're driving in the car, while we're walking and praying and thinking. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, because in prayer we are in communion with the Lord. We are walking by faith in connection with Him, seeing our great object, the one whom our soul loves. John Owen wrote this about faith. He says, faith is that gracious power of the mind, whereby it firmly assents unto divine revelations, upon the sole authority of God the Revealer, as the first essential truth and fountain of all truth. Faith lays hold upon what the Lord has said and who He is. So, what is this faith? It receives the Bible as God's holy word. It firmly declares, I believe and I am not ashamed of my Savior. It trusts in God's sovereign purposes in life, even when sight gives way, even when reason gives up and you can't make any sense. Faith perseveres. Why? How? Because it sees Him who is invisible. That's how. It sees beyond and through the iron wall. It sees through the concrete objection. It sees because it is supernatural. It is a gift from the Lord. The commentator Lenski wrote this. He said, if our faith were its own basis, it would indeed hang in the air. Our faith rests on the Word of God. It rests on His objective truth, not on our subjective feelings. That's where our faith is residing. I ask you, the friend this morning, do you possess this faith? Maybe you say, well, I don't know if I do or not. Well, if you're not sure you do, it's most likely that you don't. And if you are uncertain or unclear, there is no better time and place than where you're seated right now to say, Lord, I need understanding here. Lord, I need help because I don't know if I have faith. I don't know if I have enough faith. I don't know if I have the right kind of faith. Lord, give me insight. May the Holy Spirit come to open my heart, my mind. I want to know this truth. And friend, if you pray that prayer with all your heart and with all sincerity, God will make His truth known to you today, right now. If you have this faith in God, you will want to know more and more and more of His wonders. You will want to be more conformed to His image in your life. You will want to see the great object and purpose of your living here, the reason for your existence. You will want to see that and know it and lay hold upon it and take it to yourself. For this faith in Christ, it makes us rich toward God with a wealth that cannot be measured. We know that temporal wealth comes in many forms. And it does have this one thing in common. As the psalmist said, it can take wings and can fly away. Wealth can come and wealth can go. Sometimes we think that the evidence of wealth means the blessing of God, and the absence of wealth means not the blessing of God. That is categorically untrue. That is not right. Because there are many, many people who are poor in this world's goods. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. He didn't have two sticks to rub together. He had nothing of this world's goods. But look at a man who is rich toward God. He had everything that the Lord had given to him. A blessed man indeed. And there are people in the world that have more money than they know what to do with. But they have no peace and no hope. And certainly they have no faith. The wealth which true faith holds is an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. It is, as the Bible says, reserved in heaven for us, and we are kept by the power of God through faith. One writer was relaying an account of a godly man who had much wealth, and he used that wealth for the glory of God in the right way. But circumstances in his life changed. And they turned, and his riches left him. They fled. They took wings. And he was left to abide in a one-room apartment. And his needs had to be met by those who were his friends to supply his needs. One person who met him said, "Why are you so happy? Why are you as happy as when you possessed much wealth?" For the man was happy before, but he was happy, or if not happier, now. His answer came back immediately. He said, "When I possessed all the world's goods, I enjoyed God in all. And now that I possess none of this world's goods, I enjoy all in God." You see, my friend, his perspective was right. He had it in the right way. And yet for many of us, when we hit some kind of a roadblock or a hiccup or things don't go well, we immediately cast it all away and think that it's over, we're finished, we're undone, we're all washed up. But the Lord has, for those who are walking obediently in faith, the Lord has a purpose in our lives. Let us not therefore throw these things away or think that wealth must be only measured in things that we have. No. True faith has substance. True faith has confidence. It has standing. It that cannot be shaken. Though the mountains be removed and though the waters overwhelm. Friends, when these things happen to us in our life, and it may be that some circumstances is pressing upon you just now, and you're overwhelmed by it, and you don't know the answer for it, come as the psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God." The Lord will be exalted in our lives, and He will be exalted, friend, through the circumstance that you presently find yourself in. So when test or trial comes to us, God is big enough. He is big enough to carry us through. Do you find in Him the peace that passes all understanding? Do you find in Him that which causes us to submit when we cannot understand? Quite frankly, if our faith does not produce this for us, it's not worth very much. Our faith must carry us through when our faith is in the Lord our object. And we realize that it has come from Him. I wonder, friend, today, do you possess this saving faith? Is faith the substance of the things that you hope for? Because the things for the believer that we hope for are not necessarily in this life. Yes, we hope for some things. We want to see the salvation of loved ones and souls. And of course, that has a spiritual end. That has an eternal determination. And that's what we want. We aim for that. But the goal that we have, the aspirations, the things we want, they're in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where these things cannot come. Friend, do you need this faith? Pray unto the Lord for it today. Is your faith weak? Seek Him. Pray unto God. Call upon Him. We will find only in Jesus Christ the answer to both of these questions, saving faith and weak faith, found alone in Him. I say, call upon the Lord this very day. We'll bow, please, in prayer. Our Father, take Thy holy word, we pray, and impress it upon all our souls. Lord, forgive us for our times of fainting, weakness, times of doubt. Lord, make us strong in the Lord and in the power of Thy might. Help us, we pray, and Lord, remember and speak on to those without Christ this morning. Part us in Thy fear now, we pray, and with Thy rich blessing, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.